Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on this morning's magazine, there is still time for people in search of healthcare to sign up on the state's official platform, Connect for Health Colorado, and to possibly get some subsidies to offset the cost. We'll get some details on how Connect for Health is working despite efforts by the Trump administration to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Then we'll take a look back at cannabis news from 2019 and a look ahead to what to expect in 2020 with some new laws. That's with Leland Drucker joining us in the studio. Then John Lendorf brings us the latest food news on Radio Nibbles. After headlines from the BBC at the bottom of the hour, we'll hear some of the winners from the 2019 Third Coast Audio Festival. That's an annual event that celebrates the best radio and podcasting from around the world. Today, we'll hear the best of the best, some of the standout stories. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Denver will work on improving its air quality for 2020. Colorado Politics reports that the effort will be led by Denver's Department of Public Health and Environment, and it will include public and private researchers who will work together in a multi-year effort to identify where the air pollution is coming from. Colorado Politics reports that the effort was announced on Monday, and it comes in the wake of a recent announcement from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency that downgraded Denver Metro Region's air quality from moderate rating to a serious rating in terms of being out of compliance with federal ozone laws. Researchers will use new technology, data analysis, and a more detailed tracking of odour complaints in an effort to understand which pollutants are coming from areas like construction projects or industrial sources. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock said in a statement that the data will help inform future policy decisions that protect the environment. Migrating birds are showing up in areas much earlier than they would have done 20 years ago. This is as a result of rapid climate change. This is all according to a new report that's led by Colorado State University with scientists from Cornell and the University of Massachusetts. Report lead author Kyle Horton says that the timing of when and where birds land for critical food and rest have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years.
And the changes that we're seeing are quite rapid and recent. So that linkage between resources, the things that they're eating, and when they come through is shifting. And whether or not birds can match that is really at the heart of the question here.
Horton says that the danger is that birds might land too early or too late and miss out on hatching insects, blossoming flowers, and fruiting trees. If birds can't find places to stop and refuel, they could run out of energy and not be able to reach critical spring mating habitat. The CSU study comes on the heels of reports that nearly 3 billion North American birds have been lost since 1970, in part due to habitat loss and human development. Habitat loss to human development. In just the past decade, the number of birds migrating in spring has dropped by 14%. Horton says something as simple as turning off outside lights, while it won't stop climate change, that's actually one concrete way that individuals can help.
These birds are migrating at night. The lights distract these birds. They can disorient them. Any disorientation or distraction in route can hinder these birds.
People can follow the bird migration with an interactive tool that is available online at birdcast.info. That shows when birds are on the move and when they're passing through your area. In case folks want to stock up on bird feeders and turn off security lights for a few days. Smokers in Colorado are being offered a monetary incentive to help kick the habit in 2020. The Colorado Quit Line announced that it is providing a $10 incentive to Colorado Medicaid members. Quit Line coaching is available to smokers 12 and older who wish to quit. It's provided via online chats or over the phone at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Medications such as nicotine patches or gum are also available to those who are 18 and older. That can be acquired at coquitline.org. Jill Hunsaker Ryan, who's the executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, said in a press release announcing the incentives that anyone who has tried to quit tobacco knows how hard it can be, but the important thing is to keep trying and to access the free help that is available so that you have the support you need to succeed. And in the weather, expect highs close to 40 degrees under mostly sunny skies around the Front Range today. Tomorrow, similar temperatures and conditions in and around the Boulder Valley, though. Expect some breezy conditions for Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. The Denver area might get some breezy conditions the latter part of the weekend into Monday as well. But temperatures not getting too far above the mid-40s over the coming days. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. There is still time to enrol for health insurance for 2020 and to possibly get some subsidies to help offset the cost. This is all through Connect for Health Colorado. That is the official marketplace where people can find individual health insurance plans for themselves or families and also apply for subsidies. Connect for Health Colorado was created under the Affordable Care Act. Now, despite efforts by the Trump administration to dismantle the ACA, including the removal of the individual mandate, Connect for Health Colorado is still going strong, says the platform's spokesperson, Monica Caballeros.
So by the deadline to sign up for a plan that started at January 1 of 2020, we've seen more than 153,000 Coloradans signing up for a medical plan. And then we also have quite a few thousand who've signed up for dental coverage, which we also offer. And as far as the recent decision out of Texas, we really want to reassure customers that regardless of any ruling, the marketplace in Colorado is still stable and strong, and we're open for business. So the Affordable Care Act has withstood a variety of challenges since it became law 9 years ago, and it's remaining unchanged while it moves through the expected appeals. And Colorado has also passed state laws that protect people who have pre-existing conditions. And so all of the customers who are shopping for 2020 can rest assured that the financial help, as well as all the plan protections and benefits, are going to remain in place.
So for those people who are looking for health insurance and they want to go to Connect for Health Colorado, I mean, that deadline, January 1st, is already upon us. So is there still an opportunity to sign up for healthcare, and when would that coverage start?
There's absolutely still time. So what's kind of unique about Connect for Health Colorado in our marketplace here is that we're actually open until January 15 of 2020. So anyone who signs up between today and the 15th of January will have their coverage begin on February 1 of 2020. And we have lots of help available to get signed up in these last few weeks.
So what form does that help come in?
So someone can sign up online by going to connectforhealthco.com. They can give us a call and our customer service center can help them through the entire application. But what's really cool is that we also offer in-person help with certified brokers and community-based assisters. So especially if you're someone who doesn't feel like very comfortable calling or doing this online and you really want that kind of personal help, we do have these folks available who can talk to you in person, help you apply for financial help, and help kind of explain the differences between the different plans available.
Well, one of the big aspects of Connect for Health Colorado is the fact that you can often get financial subsidies. I mean, this is all dependent really on your income. So walk us through that and give people a sense of what kind of subsidies are available. And if you have any statistics of what you've seen people get subsidies for, or how much they're having their health insurance subsidized over, you know, in previous years, to give people a sense of what they might expect if they sign up for 2020.
So far in 2020, 68% of all the people who come through Connect for Health Colorado are qualifying for financial help. And the financial help comes in the form of a premium tax credit. So what that means is that when you go through the application, you'll provide information about how many people are in your household and what your projected annual income is going to be for the year 2020. And based on those two factors, as well as where you live in the state, then you can qualify for these tax credits to lower the cost. And so the way it works is, let's say you go through the application and you're eligible for, and I'll just make up these numbers, but let's say $300 of tax credit. You can take that $300 or whatever amount you qualify for, and you can apply it to any plan, and it'll take that $300 off the top. So you can apply it to any level of plan. So if you have a bronze level, a silver level, or a gold level, to reduce that monthly cost. And so it really depends on where you live and how much your income is and how many family members. So it's hard to say to give an average for the entire state, but we are seeing that people can get a plan. Oftentimes, I think the state average is about $117 right now. And so I really encourage people, even if they think I make too much, I'm not going to qualify, to really take a look because, for example, an individual can make up to about $49,000 in a year and still qualify for those tax credits. And for a family of four, that number goes all the way up to $103,000 where you can earn and still get that financial help to lower the cost.
And so just to reiterate, if people do go and sign up at Connect for Health Colorado, are there choices of plans in terms of, say, higher monthly premiums if you want a lower deductible, or lower monthly premiums if you want a higher deductible, different choices of plans? I mean, what kind of choice is available for people when they do go to try to find health insurance?
We partner with a variety of private health insurance companies, and it's the friendly faces and names that people recognize. So if you're along the Front Range, you're going to be looking at upwards of probably 100 different options available to you. And what's nice is when you're looking and shopping, you can filter and compare by your monthly premium, by the deductible. And so we do have plans. For example, I was talking about the bronze level. So those are the plans where the premium is going to be lower, but the deductible is going to be higher, and you'll be, you know, paying until you hit that deductible, and then the insurance company starts sharing in the cost with you of your care. But then there are the other plans at the silver and the gold level where you're paying a little bit more for your monthly premium every month. But when you actually go to use services, then you're paying a copay instead of paying until you hit that deductible. And so we're really encouraging folks to make sure that they're looking at some of those trade-offs with the cost. And we even have a tool. It's called our Quick Cost and Plan Finder tool that doesn't just compare by the premium and by the deductible, but it all actually looks at how frequently you use care. And it gives you a yearly cost estimate. So you really can think about not just the monthly sticker price, but kind of what it's going to look like when you're really using care, and how the prices, how it might actually be better to get a plan that's a little more expensive every month.
Well, Monica, just as we finish up, if people miss that January 15th deadline or their circumstances change, maybe they change job later in the year, maybe they lose health insurance from a different mechanism later after January 15th, are there opportunities after the January 15th deadline to sign up at Connect for Health Colorado?
Absolutely. We are open all year round, even outside of the open enrollment period, and you can sign up for a plan if you experience what's called a life change event. And so the more common life change events during the year, as you touched on, are losing insurance from a job, for example, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. If you lose Medicaid, that's a really big one. So let's say you are, you know, enrolled in Medicaid. It's called Health First Colorado here in Colorado. And, you know, you pick up a few extra hours and you get the letter from the state that says you're earning too much. You get kicked off. You have 60 days from that point to sign up for a plan through Connect for Health Colorado. And oftentimes you'll qualify for a lot of financial help. And then there's also a few family changes that can qualify you, like getting married, getting divorced, or having a baby, as well as a few others.
There was so much made about that individual penalty if you don't sign up for health insurance, that seemed to be what so many people were upset about. Now, that was removed. However, we're still seeing tens of thousands of people signing up for health insurance. So do you see that really it hasn't made a difference in terms of people wanting to or being able to access now affordable health insurance?
I don't think that the penalty has been a big incentive for people necessarily to get signed up. I think especially after the first few years, once people were required at that point to sign up or get the penalty, and they started to see the benefits of having, you know, this quality health insurance and seeing that they could actually get it for an affordable price, I think that probably really made the difference more so than than being motivated by a penalty.
Monica Caballeros is with Connect for Health Colorado. People have until January 15th to sign up on the platform, the state's official health insurance marketplace, for coverage to begin February 1st. And there's a lot more information and tools available to help you, as well as some events that will be happening around the Front Range in the coming weeks. All the information is online at connectforhealthco.com. connectforhealthco.com. Leland Drucker is a senior editor at Sensi Magazine, and he joins us here on KGNU on Thursday mornings to talk about the latest news in cannabis. Well, now, as we are in the new year, the advent of 2020 is upon us. It's 6 years now since Colorado legalized cannabis use for adults, and still some changes to come in 2020. But 6 years on, Leland, what are you reflecting on?
Well, 6 years ago, today, my neighbor and I drove down to Denver because there were no recreational stores open in Boulder at that time on January 1st, and bought our eighth. And my goodness, we were actually buying cannabis legally in a state. And we're six years later. You know, if you think on the 10-year thing, 10 years ago, less than half of Americans supported legalization of cannabis. 10 years ago. So things have changed really dramatically. I think looking, there's really two big stories. One of them is the so-called vaping crisis, and what I'm going to say is the coverage of it by the media, which has just been horrifying, and it continues. Even major news outlets.
Well, how so? What is being misreported?
Last week, a New York Times story about vaping on college campuses noted, quote, a growing health crisis that has killed more than 50 people and injured more than 2,500, unquote, and which it says led Congress to raise the minimum purchase age for e-cigarettes to 21. Later in the story, the Times says the deaths and injuries are, quote, largely attributed to vaping products containing THC, unquote. But that inconvenient fact did not stop the Times and other outlets like this from conflating college students' nicotine vaping, the main subject of the story, with vaping of potentially deadly black market cannabis products. And this really angers me that they conflate these two things. And that sort of reporting just continues. I mean, here in Boulder, we just stopped selling vaping products to anyone under 21, which basically, as somebody in the Daily Camera noted, just leaves the bootleg cartridges for people to use. So
do you see that mainstream coverage of what's happening with vaping? Because the Center for Disease Control, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, are issuing warnings about the health implications of vaping, but you see that that's all being conflated with cannabis use as opposed to really taking a look at the fact that it's black market vaping cartridges that a lot of these organizations are saying that's where the problem lies.
You know, that's the CDC and almost every organization has said that that's really the problem, is black market cartridges that are getting out to regular people. And that's a different thing than the e-cigarette thing. It's a totally different thing. The two are conflated together, and I just don't like that. The other thing about 2019 is that, and this is legalization, federal legalization. There's been a lot of talk about that. We've talked about it here on the show a lot during this year. It's not going to happen in 2020. And the reason for that is that the new spending bill that was recently passed, the House had attached riders to spending legislation for fiscal 2020. All of them were shut down in the appropriations package. The riders would have prevented the federal government from interfering with legal cannabis companies. It would have prevented the Justice Department from using taxpayer dollars to stop states and territories from implementing their own laws. That rider was tossed in favor of a long-standing one that they've had that protects only medical cannabis. Yet another measure introduced by Representative Ed Perlmutter here in Colorado mirrors one of the Senate rejected riders by ensuring access to financial services for legitimate cannabis companies. This passed overwhelmingly in the House, just sitting in the Senate right now. don't look for anything really to happen in 2020 for legalization.
Well, there still are new laws and regulations being crafted here at a state level. So there are some changes ahead now for 2020, particularly when it comes to public consumption of cannabis. What's this new law that's gone into effect?
You know, that's what's going to really be interesting looking here into the future is that, there are two licenses now for cannabis establishments for social consumption. One allows for sales and allows for tasting rooms, and the other allows for cannabis to be used in other businesses. And we'll see what happens. This is really an entrepreneurial kind of a thing. They're leaving it to entrepreneurs to come up with ideas, to come up with plans for this kind of thing. And I think that's pretty exciting. The other thing is that there will be medical marijuana will be able to be distributed by mail beginning today. And next year, a year from now, legalized cannabis for adults will also be also available in mail. And I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, people can read more about that and some of the new laws coming into effect as it pertains to cannabis online at sensimag.com. And of course, catch Leland Rucker here Thursday mornings on KGNU. Thanks, Leland. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats.
Everybody eats right here on KGNU. And John Lendorf joining us live in the studio to give us his food predictions for 2020. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's time for a fresh look at food. We're done with the teens now. Look forward a little bit, and I've been going through the many food predictions from various sources, and there's really a lot of interesting things going on. Obviously, the whole plant-based food thing is becoming huge from the milks and also the fake meats and all that stuff. But one thing it's doing is finally bringing beans back to the forefront. And I'm not sure everyone knows, but Colorado is like the bean growing capital of the United States.
I did not know that.
Yep, there's a town, and in fact, that's the pinto bean capital of America. And, beans have kind of been dismissed as poor people's food and all this stuff, but they really are coming back, especially heirloom beans. The very different textures and tastes and everything, and along with, eggplant, eel, and all these other, fake meat things. I think that those things are going to be, the beans are going to get rediscovered. On the opposite side, things I'm not looking for, that I find it hard to swallow are apparently Whole Foods and other places are going to start installing climate-controlled doghouses outside the supermarket where you can leave your dog while you're inside. Which, in a time of homelessness, I find deeply disturbing. If we can provide, climate-controlled doghouses, you see where I'm going with that. On the upside, there seems to be a tremendous interest in alcohol-free bars and cocktail bars and other places. Some of them are kava bars.
What's kava?
Kava is a Southeast Asian root, which makes you calm, and there's a kava bar in Boulder. So it isn't necessarily that you just want to drink something that's non-alcoholic. There's other enjoyable things. The other thing that I'm seeing is finally a bunch of things that we care about are coming together because it's that time, because of sustainability. But food justice, sustainable agriculture, food rescue, eliminating food waste, and nose-to-tail cookery. These concepts are coming together. Take the food waste, feed people. Feed people better, cheaper. And because hunger and food insecurity is stupid.
Well, we're excited that we're going to be doing a whole year-long series looking at food waste and ways to eliminate it, and really the impact on so many parts of our society. That's coming to a radio near you in 2020, courtesy of KGNU. There's a lot of healthier food, it seems, in you know, coming to the forefront. And I know there's a lot of research into the connection between not just our physical health and the food that we're eating, but our mental health as well. And you predict this is going to take even more of a center stage in 2020.
It's clear that depression and other mental states are just clearly, you know, it's not that they can be cured, but they can really be ameliorated tremendously by what you eat. And especially looking into your gut health and how to maintain that. And it looks like there's some real serious changes coming that.
And a lot of research being done locally. Yeah. We've had some of those researchers on KGNU. On the other end of the food spectrum, sugar, high fat, Twinkies, they're on the way out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm predicting the end of sugared breakfast cereals, which don't really seem to have a raison d'etre, and the younger generations just aren't eating them. But there's things that they're introducing to counteract that, like Hostess Twinkie cereal. That's just wrong. Other things I think that are going to be gone soon are foam takeout containers, grocery checkout lines, and serving women first in restaurants.
Because is that a thing? I haven't noticed that.
That is a thing, and I think it will get more complicated just simply because of multiple genders.
But is that a thing that
like you're looking at a table and you go, that's a woman, that's a man, that
I say
that's.
But is this a thing that waiters or servers are being?
It's always been that way.
Okay, I missed that part of my.
You never got served for it?
Serving education because I have served tables and I don't think I ever. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's dropped off, you know, a lot.
Can I give a tip, though, for any servers or potential servers out there? Serve the kids first. Nothing like a table full of cranky, hungry kids to ruin everyone's dining experience. Yeah.
And as I always do at this time of year, every year for the past 40 years, pie will rise again in 2020, especially in the form of hand pies from across the world.
Hand pies being little small pies that would fit in your hand?
That's it. And like samosas and all kinds of things. But it never comes to pass, but it's always my sincere hope at the beginning of every year.
Pie in the ascension. Well, what's the best thing you've tasted this week? Or this year, could I ask?
This was at the end of last year, but boy, it was great. There's a place called Eridu. Ancient Grains. It's at the Rosetta Food Hall. And they serve these Lithuanian dumplings that are just incredible. They're filled with mushrooms and lamb. And then served in this wonderful thick gravy and juice with some creme fraiche and braised lamb with it. And it is so, so good. It's at Rosetta Hall, the new food hall in town.
In downtown Boulder. Well, you can catch John's Nibbles column this week. There's a profile of the owner of Cafe Rumi. This is a Persian market in Boulder.
It is one of the coolest places in town that absolutely no one knows about.
Way North Broadway.
Yeah, it's called In Season Market Cafe Rumi.
Well, happy new year, happy new month, happy pie.
Happy new month to everyone.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you more.